here today. Lord, not that it's something that has been written by a man on earth, but God, that it's a message from you in heaven so that we can flow in heaven's mercy and grace right here where we're planted, God. So for the time that we have on this earth, as long as you give us, God, I pray that we reflect you in such a way that people will look up and see from whence their salvation comes. We love you, Lord, and I would ask you just to be with this message in Jesus' name. Amen. We're walking through the Bible. We're talking about the Bible all the way from Genesis to Revelation. We began with grace. What do I mean by that? God created us. He felt so good about his creation that he said, this is a very good thing. We have made man. We, notice, Father, Son, that Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, his Spirit. They were in agreement. And he created man literally from the dirt. You know, if you break yourself down, you're nothing but dirt and water. All the chemicals that are in your body and all the things that you consist of, it's really dust, dirt. And God formed you. It said that he reflected his shadow upon the earth and formed man in his own image. And of course, you'd be nothing more than dirt if he didn't breathe life. That's what God can do. You can't understand this because we live in three dimensions and there's no mathematics or chemistry that could ever teach you how this works. But God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and the universe, breathed his life into this dirt and we became man with a circulatory system and an excretory system and just every system that's part of the body, digestive. And he made everything work like a clock and he put us in time and space. And he gave us dimensions, which he's outside of. And he could see all this from afar because he's outside of time. This is the God that's incomprehensible that we sing about. We can't comprehend it. We have to understand that we are the created being and not the creator. That's why we submit. That's why all we can do is rest and respond to what he wants to do in us. Because when we take over, ultimately things screw up. God made creation. He ordered all things, and if we will abide in him and rest in him, then he will, through us, get things done. He's given each one of you a personality and your own way of getting to people. And what I mean by that is to reflect to people heaven in such a way, even if it's a small way, you have a part and a role to play from heaven. But you have to yield in order for that to come through. And in order for you to yield, you have to get away from self. In order to get from self, you got to get away from the world because the world serves self. So I want to talk to you today about why God originally, and it's funny because in all of your talking and all of what happened here as you shared about what God's doing in your life, it really did say this. It goes back to the beginning when God created us and he just gave us the gift of life. That's grace. That we were put onto this planet made in God's image to serve his purposes. And if we will live and abide in him, Adam and Eve really didn't have to do anything except listen and obey. Trust and obey. That was it. Then sin came in because we wanted to go out on our own and all hell broke loose, literally. And so today I want to take us back to the garden where if we're like Adam and Eve originally were before sin entered the world, we didn't have to worry about what to do that was right and wrong because the tree of knowledge of good and evil wasn't even a factor. It was the tree of life, which is a relationship tree, meaning that if you have a relationship with God and you love him and he loves you, works and good behavior naturally flow. If you love somebody, good behavior will result. Not yet you have to work at it. It's just a byproduct of grace. It's a byproduct of love. So today we're going to go from the garden. And then we talked about how when man sinned, the law came in. And now in the New Testament, Jesus comes back on the scene and says, I want to restore you. I want to reconcile you to the Father. I want to bring you back to grace, to love, to hope, faith, and mercy. And now we get to begin a series on that wonderful gift of grace. Now, we talked last week about what salvation meant. And I'm not going to quiz you today, but you understand that the initial step of you giving your life to Christ brings you out of hell and into heaven, literally. Not today, hopefully not today, but one day. You have the hope of what? A place reserved in heaven because of what Jesus Christ did for you to be with God. That's one aspect of salvation. But Dan did a great job this morning to let you know that you can be delivered from not just hell, salvation doesn't encompass your ticket to heaven alone, but it encompasses being healed and being, you know, rescued from your finances and your emotional distraughtness and all of the worries and problems you have in this life. Jesus is real. He's at the right hand of the Father. Now, he's not in front of you right now with your hands and feet. He will be one day, but his spirit, his influence, his ability to speak into you and to get others to come to your rescue and to bring Christians to each other's side and to get the world to continue to flow and function and orchestrate nations to come against nations and people to come against people and go for people and all of these things he can do by the power of his spirit that's at work in the world today. And if you understand the power of his spirit working through mankind and you yield to that power, you're in his army and you get to be one of the vessels that he uses to change a life. But if you abdicate and you sit on your hands and you just let right life run you and ruin you, if you will, then you're just going to come in here all distraught, worried, not knowing what the will of God is. No, what am I going to do? How am I going to do? No, you can't do anything and you're not going to. Yield to God and he will pave the way. He says, I will order your steps. Well, what does that mean? It's not just a verse in the Bible. It means literally by the power of his spirit, as you pray and you commune with him like Jesus did, he's going to order your steps. He's going to tell you which way to turn. He's going to tell you that, not in an audible voice, although somebody might hear him in an audible voice. I'm not discounting that. But most often it's just by an unction. It's just by knowing that you know that you know to go take that piece of pie to a neighbor. I don't know why I'm doing it, but I just feel like I need to do that. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. We got to start to learn to live in the Spirit. That's how you live in the Spirit. You got to get in touch with Him. You got to read His Word. You got to pray. You got to abide. You got to sing. You got to rub shoulders with people that are Christians so you can get the giftings and draw upon those giftings. If we're over in the world and we're not hanging around Christians and we're not in the Word and we're not listening to music, of course you're going to get sucked in. I've been sucked in the last couple of months with a house that just won't get right. Sooner or later, I'm going to realize that this is not my home. Right? So I'm learning today as well as you're learning today, and I'm going to respond to grace in a different way. I'm not going to keep working and striving and trying to please God through self-effort because it'll never happen. He's not going to minister spirit to flesh. He's going to minister spirit to spirit. As I respond to what he wants, he's going to be pleased. We're going to talk about grace and examine the message of grace in Scripture. So here's my question to you. Are you frustrated trying to live up to what you think a Christian should be? Think about that. Are you frustrated trying to live up to what you think God wants you to be? Are you attempting to do it in your own strength? The Bible calls that walking in the flesh. I know that's Christianese, it's terminology that we use with the world, and they're going, what? Walking in the flesh? Well, yeah, I'm walking with my flesh. What does it mean? Walking in the flesh. The flesh walk stresses dedicating yourself to live for God. It can be a good thing. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do right. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to follow the law. I'm going to listen to the pastor's message. I'm going to go home and I'm going to do this thing. I'm not going to look at my watch today to see if it's 12 o'clock yet. I'm not going to think about Denny's afterwards. Walking in the flesh can be a good thing. But if you are walking and you are dedicating yourself to say, I'm going to live for God, it's pitiful. God says, that's a flesh walk. You can't jump high enough. You can't perform good enough. You're not good enough. There's not that much good in you, Dan, to be able to please your Heavenly Father as much as you try and work at it and do your best. God responds to God. Spirit responds to the spirit in you. He wants nothing to do with your flesh, good, bad, or ugly. There was no good and bad. Remember, with the knowledge of good and evil, that only came in after they sinned. He doesn't care whether you're good or bad. He wants your heart. He wants your love. He knows that if he has that, he's got you, and then he's got the works.
Yes, yes.
He doesn't want a flesh walk with you. The flesh will not go with you when you go to be with him. That's how bad he doesn't want your flesh. Right? It's going to burn if you're going to get burned at whatever you're doing. Put you in the ground and plant you. You're just going to become a seed. You're going to break down. You're not going to be nothing but bones. You're going to die sooner or later or something. What was it? E.V. Hill, great black preacher. I loved what he said. She said, Pastor, you got to put a sign up on the church because a miracle happened here. I say, miracle worker. And he said, I ain't going to put a sign on a church that says miracle worker. He said, he might have lived from that, but he's going to die of something sooner or later anyway. Just because I heal you today, you're going to die tomorrow or sometime. It's not about the miracles or the work or the striving or the running for Jesus and trying to, work. It's about having a relationship with your Heavenly Father that will continue in heaven, and He wants to have one right now with you on earth. The flesh walk says, dedicate yourself to God and live for Him. And then you get preached at the pulpit to do this and do that and do this and do that. And I've been guilty of doing that to you. But not for the purposes of trying to make you stress and strive, but for the purposes of pleasing your daddy. And I know that you can't do it in your own strength. You have to do it in His. If you go to Ephesians chapter 1, in Him you have faith. In Him you have this ability. In Him you have this. You got nothing in and of yourselves. The flesh walk, dedicate yourself to live for God. Philippians 3, 3 to 6. Okay, well, I think I got a few things in my back pocket that'll please God. So did Paul. Paul thought that. So Paul wrote this. And Paul was probably the greatest evangelist that ever came. God chose him as an apostle after the original 12 to go out and to preach to us, the Gentiles, after the Jews. And this is what Paul says. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God, and we glory in Christ Jesus. He's just worshiping. He's just writing it down as he's going. Then he breaks out into this. And put no confidence in the flesh. He realizes that he couldn't do this in his own strength. Religion didn't cut it, did it? Jesus came and took those Pharisees and Sadducees, religious leaders, people like me, and he diced and sliced them. He said, you're putting your confidence in the flesh. You're coming up with more laws than God came up with. He came up with 10. You've come up with 365. Or whatever amount is. One for every bone in the body, one for every day of the week. They just kept writing where God stopped at 10. Come on. Although I myself, now for those of you scholars out there, I know there were more than 10 after he talked to Moses and he gave some other stuff, but don't get hung up on that stuff. I don't have time to preach on that. Although I myself might have, here's Paul now going, okay, well, you think you can do this flesh walk? Let me tell you how good I could be and am and was and will be. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh. So Paul's going, okay, let me give you my resume. If anybody else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, me, I far more, the PhDers, circumcised the eighth day, obedient to God, right? Of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law. I'm a Pharisee. I've studied it. I've built the law. I've operated in it. I'm pleasing God. I'm a good pastor. As to zeal, I'm a persecutor of the church. I'm coming against those people who think that they can, you know, make up some religion outside of what we know. As to the righteousness which is in the law, hey, I've been found blameless. I've been operating under the law for so long, I can do it with my eyes closed. See, this is Paul writing to you saying, put no confidence in the flesh. I came to Damascus, my eyes were open, I beheld a relationship, I beheld Jesus, and I was put to the ground blind so that I could no longer walk in the flesh. I had to rely upon His strength. I'm telling you today, don't wait for Him to blind you. If you're in here in church today and you just need to get restored to God, run up to the altar. Get on your knees. You don't need to be tied down and try to run off. You need to be there to give yourself as a living sacrifice that says, God, I'm giving it all to you. I'm holding nothing back, right, Ryan? I'm holding nothing back. I'm yours. You want me to blow this thing? Okay, I'll blow it. Oh, you want me to kneel? Okay, I'll kneel. I mean, what if the church service went like that? You guys would be blown away going, I'm not coming back to that place. But I'd be like, praise God, He told me to blow it. He told me to get on my knees. If you hear one thing that God tells you to do and you do it, I'm telling you, you've done more than you can do in a lifetime. You got to hear from God. And if you're struggling, that's because the world is getting in your way. Paul's resume in the flesh, self-sufficiency, or meeting our needs apart from Jesus. We go out and we try to run our life apart from Him. But Pastor, He's not right here. Yes, He is. He's right in here. And you got to cultivate that relationship. You got to release your most holy faith. You got to build it up. You got to get with each other. You got to sharpen it. Iron sharpens iron. People sharpen people. Can't do it as an island. Can't do it in a group that wants nothing to do with God. They're just going to tell you that this is phony baloney and don't worry about it. Well, I know another group of people who said that, and then it flooded and everybody died. He's coming back. Amen. And this time it won't be to administer grace and mercy. It's going to be justice. Now's the time for grace and mercy. Justice is coming. And it's coming on a white horse. And He's coming with an army, you and me. And He's going to make that song come to pass. Totally clean. He's going to cleanse this world. He's going to purge it of its evil. And he's going to throw Satan in the lake of fire once and for all.
Right.
And all those who have rejected Christ and his gift of grace, his gift of allowing you to come to the altar and say, I'm holding nothing back. Use me, mold me, shape me. Do whatever you got to do, God. I'm tired of living my life on my own strength. There's a yieldedness. There's a trust. Then you got to go, well, who's going to pay my bills? And who's going to go out there and you know. Folks, he speaks through people. And he works through others, and he works through you, and things will come around. You're not going to see God coming down on a white horse to pluck your mortgage and pay it. But I guarantee you he's got people in your life that can be orchestrated in favor amongst officials and people that it can happen. You can get a phone call, right? Dina, where's Dina McCarty? You can get a phone call that says you owe $25,000 or whatever, and you need to pay us up tomorrow, and then all of a sudden you get the next phone call that says, oh, well, ma'am, we don't know what's going on, but your bill is cleared. Right? I remember that. That doesn't happen in the world. It happens because you've had favor with God. Your debts, somebody else said that today, your debts wiped clean, wiped out. Sherry, wasn't it Sherry said that? Debts paid in full. Well, that's the flesh walk. How about the grace walk? What do I mean by grace? Allowing Jesus Christ, this is what grace is. This is what grace does. Allowing Jesus to live his life through you. Through you. That's grace. That you're totally removed and you've stepped out of the way and you're submitting to the Holy Spirit, that voice, through the Word of God and through worship and through people, right? And that little still small voice, you're letting Jesus, no matter where it takes you, no matter where you got to go, no matter how comfortable you are, I sat in a church that was charismatic for the first time. I was a Lutheran. I grew up Lutheran. I sat in there and she'll tell you. I said, let's get up and go. These people are weird. We're out of here. And we left. And we went to the next charismatic church and it was even worse. But I heard the still small voice, and I told my wife, let's get up. We got to go back from the church from which we came. The problem's not with them. The problem's with me. They were real. I just wasn't used to it. I was used to the fake. You know, I just, you know, the pastor or whatever, you know the drill. They, you up, yep, 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 woo, 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 woo. Yep, yep. I bless you, benedict you, you're out. I grew up with that. I'm not trying to make fun of it, and I shouldn't. Forgive me, God, for doing that. But I had no relationship. I had no clue who Jesus was, no less the Holy Spirit. I just knew that I was trying to do my Sunday thing so that I feel better on Monday. That's not the way to live your life. Christ Jesus is alive. He's at the right hand of the Father, and by His Spirit, He wants to move and live and have His being and use you. We have to yield. The grace walk allows Jesus to live through us. Galatians 2, I'm never going to get done if I don't go follow my notes. Galatians 2, 20 to 21 says this, a confession, I have been crucified with Christ. That means you're dead to self. I've given up all my own rights and I'm going to live for Him. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I'm going to now live in this flesh, I'm not going to live it according to my own strength. I'm going to live by faith. That means I'm going to trust that what Jesus said He will do in me. That's a big leap, folks. That's like standing up here and it's 50 stories high and trusting that God's going to take you off that ledge when you jump. That's big. Faith is the substance of things expected. Hope for it. It's not in front of you yet. You live by faith in the Son of God. Who what? Who loved me enough and gave Himself up for me. That He died for you so you could have the Holy Spirit. He died so that you don't have to live your own life anymore. Otherwise, He wouldn't have came. He would have just said, okay, Dad, let's just look for a few of the good people, bring them up here, and let's wipe out the rest. What was He looking for through Abraham and Noah? Faith. Someone who would dare to trust God and live for Him and put aside the needs of the flesh to do His will and not their own. He says, I do not nullify the grace of God. Don't throw God's grace away by trying to live your own life. Receive the free gift of salvation. Receive the free, and what's salvation? Being able to be delivered from all of your circumstances. So you're trying to deliver yourself from all the finances and the health problems and the trouble and all that stuff. And God says grace through faith will help deliver you. Not just help, it'll do it for you. Stop striving. Don't nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness of doing what was right comes through the law, which is just being obedient and trying to work for God and please Him, then Christ came for nothing. Why did Christ need to die? God would say, take your best shot and go for it. Live your life. Do your best. And then at the end, I'll measure you according to how you did. I don't know how many of you love taking a test, but I hated it in school. I hated taking tests. You know, I always did well most of the time, but I didn't like taking them. But what does taking a test mean? It means it's testing you on the knowledge that you have. And I know from the Bible, knowledge puffeth up if it's all by itself. You need wisdom. You need the ability of the Holy Spirit to take that which you read and interpret it to you and then tell you to go do it. The Spirit of Jesus Christ dwells within us so that we have His life force. He literally, His abilities are within us. I know that's hard to grab, but He's there. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. When you trust Him and you put your faith in Him, and that's just simply by doing nothing except agreeing in your heart that I'm going to follow Him. He takes His life force and He puts it within you. That's huge. That's huge. The very nature of Jesus is in us. Our part is to do what? Okay, well, Pastor, yeah, okay, I know that. He says the key is to abide in Him. Abide. Oh, what does that mean? What does abide mean? Let's go to the Scripture. John 15, 4 and 5. Here's Jesus speaking, frankly, to His disciples, and that's us today too. He says, here's the key. Abide in Me, and I in you. As, and then He uses an example so we can understand. As the branch cannot bear fruit being by itself unless it abides in the vine. It has to have a what? A root. It has to have the trunk of the tree. You can't have a branch without the trunk. But we become branches in this life, and we want to do this life without Jesus, and He can't do it. You weren't created that way. You weren't designed that way. God made us. He knows us best. He's the manufacturer. He's got the parts list. And if you're missing the generator, the motor, the main part that makes this part out here run, you're in trouble. Abide in Me and I in you. A branch can't bear fruit of itself unless it what? Abides in the vine. So neither can you. In other words, you cannot do anything. You have to abide in Me. I am the vine. Here's your example. You are the branches. In other words, I am God and you are My creation. Quit trying to turn that around. Tell Me what to do. I'm the vine, you're the branch. There you go, that'll preach. He who abides in Me and I in him, well, he's going to bear a whole lot of fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. But I got a PhD and I got a big house and I'm pleasing people and people like me and all that stuff. That ain't bearing fruit. Because one day you're going to take your last breath and stand before God and you're going to be measured the same as every other man on this planet. And God is going to say, come and Herod, whatever it is I have prepared for you, well done, good and faithful servant, to those who did His will. But if you did your own will, what's He going to say? Well, if you knew Him, He's going to say, well, come on over here. I got a little shack over here for you to manage. And if you didn't know Him, He's going to say, depart from Me, you who do lawlessness, and send you to hell. Those are not good options. I choose Him. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Abiding is continually depending on Him as your life source. It's a choice. It's simply a choice. It's not effort. It's a... You just do it. I make the choice. Quit working so hard and being so busy with self-effort. Here's what Steve McVeigh said jokingly. He said this, Mary had a little lamb who also had some sheep, but then she joined the average church and died from lack of sleep. That was good, wasn't it? Thank you, Bert. You got it. Mary had a little lamb who also had some sheep, but then she joined the average church and died from lack of sleep. Thank you. Okay. Trying harder... like I just tried to do with you, is not the answer in God's system. Trying doesn't work in God's system. Jesus illustrates for us how to abide by using the example of growing on the vine, right, in the tree. So I wrote this, do peaches grunt and groan as they try to grow in the tree? When you look at an apple, do you hear it going, oh, yeah, I'm juicy now. They don't, right? They just hang there. I'm just hanging out, you know. I'm just hanging, and I'm just hanging out. I'm getting bigger. I'm just hanging. I need to do a little exercise, I think. No, you're just hanging there and getting bigger. Listen, the only thing that you have to be careful about when you're hanging out with Jesus and you're hanging on the vine and you're abiding in Him and Him in you, and what is that? Be careful not to get separated from the tree. Don't let people or the enemy jerk your joy. Pluck your fruit. Pull you away from Jesus. You stay plugged in. You stay abiding. That's what he's talking about. Don't let the enemy jerk your joy. There's plenty of people out there that are working on it for the enemy. And they don't even know that they're working for the enemy. Why? Because they're following the wrong spirit. So if you follow the unholy spirit, what do you think your deeds are going to be? Unholy, unclean, right? You follow the Holy Spirit, what do you think your deeds are going to be? Good fruit, bad fruit. Hello. Jesus is good fruit. Devil, bad fruit. Jesus, good fruit. It was never God's intent that our lives be based on rules and performance. But it should be relationship. So what were the consequences then, right? What were the consequences then when Adam and Eve decided to, what? Get separated from God and do their own thing. What were the consequences then, and what are the consequences today if we do the same thing? If we choose to live by what? Self-effort, the law, versus abiding in grace. What happens if we choose the law over abiding in grace? Number one, you establish an identity apart from God. He lets you. And you establish your own identity apart from what God has got planned for you. It works. You can do it. It's just that when one day you're going to stand before Him and give an account for everything you've done, every choice you've made. But number one, you establish an identity apart from God. Number two, you become self-conscious. What do I mean by that? It's all about you. It's all about you, how you feel, what you have, what you don't have. Right? It's all about you, building your own little kingdom, protecting your family. Hey, it's me and mine, and I'm going to protect them and all that stuff. You know, what happened to other-orientedness? What happened to live your life for others? Well, you're thinking, because I don't feel that. I'm kind of selfish. I like pleasing me. Well, that's because you're not abiding in the vine, because if you were abiding in the vine, you'd have His agenda. You'd be moved by compassion. You'd be moved by sympathy. You'd be moved by the problems of others and get your mind off of yourself. That's what happens when you abide. Number three, you live by a value system of right and wrong. Basically a performance-based lifestyle, focusing on your behavior. Boy, it's a lonely place to sit there and watch your behavior all the time, worried about whether you're doing right before God or wrong before God, instead of just taking the time to abide with Him and love on Him and Him loving on you. And you don't have to worry about it because you're naturally going to produce those things. That's just the way it works. How do I know that? Because that's the way He designed you. That's what happens when you feel the conviction and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in you. You can't do wrong. It disgusts you. Inside, you're in turmoil because you're about to make a choice you know is wrong. Hello? That's God with a big megaphone going, don't do it, don't do it. You've seen the old commercials where the devil's on one shoulder, the God's on the other. Hey, come on. It's going to feel good. It's going to make you go, you earned it. You worked hard all week. Come on. A couple drinks here and there, a little bit of drugs make you feel high. Yeah, you took care of your family. You did all those things for God, so come on over here and have a little self-time. Then over here, Jesus is going, but I died for you on the cross so that you wouldn't have to live a life like that. Your reward's in heaven. Just wait, persevere, endure. I know trials and tribulations are going to come your way. You're going to feel like you can't cope anymore, but I'm right there with you. I'll never leave you, forsake you. I'm there by spirit now, but one day I'm going to be touching you. That argument that goes back and forth, Jesus has got to win that if you're going to have victory on this life. Here's a question for you again. Does God need man to serve Him? Does He need you to serve Him? No. Acts chapter 17 tells us that. Acts 17, 24 to 28. The God who made the world, how about that? And all things in it, that's even better. Since He's Lord of heaven and earth, hello, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is He served by human hands, as though He needed anything. I'm going to add this from you. Since He Himself gives to all people, the only reason you're standing or sitting, life and breath, the only reason you have it all and all these things is because of Him. He didn't need you. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth. From one man, having determined their appointed times. You're in a season. God's looking at you. He's outside of time saying, go, church, go. He's determined your appointed time and the boundaries of your habitation. He knows where you live and how far He wants you to reach out to. That they would seek God, so you would seek Him. If perhaps you might grope for Him and find Him as if you could seek Him naturally, as if you could connect with Him in the flesh. He knows it's going to only be by His Spirit you're going to connect with Him. Though He's not far from us. What does that mean? He's literally right here But if you try to do it in your flesh, you're never going to be able to see him because he can't be seen with human eyes. You have to connect with him in your heart, in the flesh, in the spirit. He's not far from you. He's right here. And he's in your prayer time. And he's in your worship. And he's in the person sitting to your left and to your right. And he's in a hug. He's in an embrace. He's in forgiveness. He's in patience. He's in love. Yes. He's in grace. And he's everywhere. I was in a relationship one time where my girlfriend had broken up with me, so I asked her why. Anybody ever been there? You're thinking, you're scratching your head, man, I did everything I could possibly do to win her affections. Man, I tell you what, I did this and I did that. I mean, I was pretty good. I'd have fallen in love with myself if I had been looking at me from the outside in. I brought flowers, I brought candy and cake, M&Ms, Little Debbie's, you know. I'm doing my utmost to try to bring her highest to the front. She says one day, you know what? Don't call me anymore. What? I asked her. She said, quit trying. Quit working so hard. Just be you. You're trying to be somebody you're not. Just let you. Just be. Just be. And that's what God is saying. Throw the world away. Understand who you are in Christ. And then just be. Rest in me. Abide in me. Let me take your burdens. Let me take your worries and your cares. Just confess them to me in prayer and say, God, if you don't show up, I'm going down. I need you, God. You told me if I trust you, if I'd walk in your steps, that you would carry me. It's a big, huge step to take, especially when the world's flooding in at you and you got to trust that he's going to show up before you go down for the last count. And I say the last count because sometimes God waits. Sometimes you're tried. Sometimes you're perfected and purged. Sometimes God's saying, okay, you want to rest in me? You want me to use you more? I got to work some things out of your life in order to get more into your life. So trust me to know that when the enemy is working out there, I'm working all things together for good. I'm going to let him kind of do his thing there to move that thing that you invited him in for. Right? Because God doesn't invite any evil in. God's not evil. He's not going to put it on you. But when you walk in impatience, the spirit of impatience is going to come in there, and there's going to be opportunities for you to use that impatience. And so God knows that. He loves you, and he's patience. So he's going to let that opportunity get to the point where you get so frustrated that you finally cry out to him, and patience comes walking on in. Trust him. Trust him. Relationship is what he's looking for. He's not looking for a maid. He's looking for a bride. God is not looking for a maid, a servant. He's looking for a bride. Service just happens. God is not a taskmaster, I said, but a husband. Taskmasters, masters, afflict. Exodus 1:11. So they appointed taskmasters over them to afflict them with hard labor. And they built for Pharaoh storage cities, Pithom and Ramesses. Taskmasters, they do what? They afflict. Exodus 3:7. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of why? Their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. Folks, God has nothing to do with the taskmaster relationship with you. He has everything to do to minister to your sufferings, to be in relationship with you, to bring grace and mercy to your situation, to rescue supernaturally by his spirit. He's our husband. He's not a taskmaster, I said. So what do husbands do? Husbands are commanded to love because God is love. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. It's not the one I wanted. Yeah, which one is that? Ephesians 4. Go to the next one, Pam. Hang around 25 there, Pam, or I'll just go there. Husbands, love your wives, right? I don't even have to go there. I know this. Why am I looking it up? As even Christ loves the church. Jesus is a picture. It's a metaphor. Jesus is a picture of a husband. And we, his bride, the church, is his bride. And one day we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we're going to join Jesus and celebrate our ultimate union. So husbands, you as part of your households are commanded to love your wife as Christ first loves us. And how much did He love us? That much, that He was willing to die for us and take upon His shoulders our sins. You don't love any more than that. He's the ultimate of love, and we're commanded to love. So what am I saying? God doesn't need us. He desires us. You don't need a wife. You don't need a husband, right? You really don't need us. In fact, we get in the way most of the time. But you do desire us, and it makes a difference. Jesus is our example in everything. He did not make up His own to-do list. When He was sent by the Father to this earth, Jesus abided in the Father. And He said when He was baptized, what? That the Father came to Him how? In the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God descended upon Jesus. Remember, Jesus came as a man. Why? So that we could know what to do. He came as a man so that man could look at man, Jesus, in perfection, and know the proper way to go. Because He's the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus was our model in everything. He didn't make up, okay, well, when I get here, Pop, I'm going to make up a to-do list. And I'm, you know, check it out and see if you approve, and I'll go ahead and do your will. He remained what? One. Connected with the Father. Only doing what the Father told Him. Well, how could He do that? That means He had to abide. He had to pray. He had to get with Him. Let's look at John 5, 19 and 30. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son, that's Him, I can do nothing of Myself, Himself, unless it is something that He sees the Father doing. Therefore, He must be looking at something. Well, He's down here with us, sleeping on a rock. God the Father's still in heaven. How did they connect? How often do you read of Jesus going off by Himself to a lonely place? To get on His knees and pray agonizingly, asking His disciples, pray with Me. But they even fell asleep. He knew that His instruction had to come from the Father. He had to see what He was doing. He had to hear what He was saying. He could do nothing of Himself. He could only do what He sees the Father doing. And for whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. You got to get this picture. He says, I can do nothing on My own initiative. That means even if He could, and He could because He was God. He was man, but He was God. He didn't. He submitted completely to the Father. As I hear, I judge. And My judgment is just because I do not seek My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me. There's your picture of how to live your life. Jesus is our example. John 12, 49. Was that it? Nope. It's another place John talks about it. For I did not speak on My own initiative, says Jesus, but the Father Himself who sent Me has given Me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. Talk about grafted in. Jesus essentially said, what you see and hear is My Father working through Me. I'm just revealing what I see, and I'm doing what I'm told. Right? That's the Father submitting to the Son. Revealing what He sees, doing what He's told. Well, how do you hear and see God? Called by faith. We hear. What is hear? The word rhema is used. That means, yes, God can speak to us through prayer. He gives you the unction. He gives you the initiative. He gives you the power to get it done. He can make all of that transact in the spirit realm, in this heavenly realm in which we live that you don't see with your natural eye. All of this transaction can take place. Through Me, He says, Acts 2:22. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders, because they follow the word, right? They follow the signs and miracles and wonders, which God performed. Notice it wasn't Him. Which God performed through Him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. See, Jesus was born as a man like you and me. He was endowed, imbued, filled with the Spirit that God sent as He approached His ministry. And then He only did what He sensed the Spirit telling Him to do. And what He saw, through visions, through the prophetic word, through worship. You can hear from God in any place if you have your ears open, even in your closet, even in the middle of a mall when He tells you to go up to that person and share Christ. Or don't go up to that person and share Christ. They're not ready yet. You wouldn't know unless you're listening. Performing through someone requires intimate communication, or should I say connection. Demons do it through channeling. Anybody know that? Demons channel through people. They sense within them what to do, because the demon is telling them what to do. And in the witchcraft world, in the demonic realm, which there is, because this is the devil and where he's at, they channel, and people do. How much more difficult do you think it would be for God to do the same? Not the evil part, but through the Holy Spirit give you communication to do. People will believe witches and warlocks and evil and all the seances and tables raising up, but they can't even connect with God Almighty, who's maker of heaven and earth, living inside of you. He's there, and he's able. Connect with God. We all know that the only way Jesus got it done was to slip away, if you will, to meet with the Father in intimate times of prayer. Folks, prayer is communication and connection with God, and it's vitally important if we're going to be victorious in this life. John 10:27, and I'm coming to a close. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Listen, my sheep hear my voice. That's us. We're sheep in His pasture. Heaven is home. This is really like a pasture, and God's watching us, and He's the great shepherd, and He's got the hook to hook you when you're going the wrong way. And He's got that hook to bite you on the head when He wants you to lay down. Come on, it's an analogy, but it's truth. He's looking upon us. He's looking to and fro upon the earth right now at your heart, not at what you're going to do in 2 minutes from now, but where your heart is. Prayer is the key. John 10:27. Did we just do it? What did it say? My sheep hear my voice, right. And that's what, okay, now that triggered me. Prayer isn't just talking. Communication or connection with God is not just talking to Him, giving Him your to-do list, or even just praising and worshiping Him. Communication with God means it's a two-way street. You don't, my sheep hear my voice. Yeah, because you're listening. Prayer is just as much listening as it is talking. More importantly, it's listening. Because God knows what your voice sounds like. He wants you to recognize His. And that's the key. God's gift to us in our showing up, listen, God's gift to us in our showing up in prayer is His grace and His power. His grace and His power. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved, delivered, through faith. This is not of yourself. It's God's gift to you, the gift of God. Keep reading. Verse 9 and 10. Not as a result, when you receive grace, it should not produce works, so that no one will boast. 10, for we are His workmanship. See, you're nothing by yourself. You're His workmanship. He wants to work through you. He created you so that He could turn on the button and tell you to go this way. Now go this way. Now go this way. Not as a robot that's not in relationship. It's more importantly like this. Okay, my sheep hear my voice. Go this way, Scott. Stop. You got to go over here and you got to minister. No, wait a minute. Let's go over here. That's how it works. You're His workmanship. The gift of grace is given to you. The power, the ability to do things, the ability to be saved and be with God is with your ability to approach Him in prayer, hear His voice, and follow Him. That's what law is, really. The only law you have is a law of grace, the law of love. To follow Him, to hear His voice, to love Him as He first loved you. That's grace. That's love. That's the law. It's all intertwined. It's all one. It's all part of each other. For we were His workmanship. Why were you created? In Christ Jesus for good works. So really, works does have a role. You were created for them. But He knew you couldn't do it in your own strength. You'd have to be plugged into Him. He prepared all this beforehand so that you would walk in them. So that you do it. So that you'd make a decision of your will to walk in it. Grace should not produce a result of works in us. For it is in Him that we live, we move, and exist. Acts 17:28. And I'll have one more scripture and we're done. For in Him, what? We live and move and exist. Is that possible? Yeah. Because he's the one who breathed into us. That's why you're breathing today. Some of your own poets have said, for we are also his children. God's looking down supernaturally upon a created being called man, made in his image. And he lives and moves and has his being in us through his spirit. And he's waiting for you to listen and obey. Trust and obey. Finally, don't love serving Jesus more than loving him. Don't love serving Jesus more than loving him. He said his grace, his love, his strength is sufficient to produce good works. For his power is perfected. His power is perfected in your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9, last scripture. And he said to me, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. That's what grace is. His power, his love, working through you. For power is perfected when you submit. When you come up to him in weakness and says, I can't do it, I'm letting you live through me. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. This is amazing grace. Amen?